paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Hey, Raj, what kind of old car did you have growing up?
Oh, gosh. I think I had a Ford Fairlane.
What?
It was a tank.
What's it called again?
Ford Fairlane.
What year was that?
Dad got it for us used.
Okay.
When we drove out to Vegas, right after we got married, this was in 76, early 76.
Let's ask the expert who is in studio with us, a man that likes to bring the classic car nostalgia back to us every Monday night at Old Orchard Mall in Skokie for Monday Night Car Shows. It is Rick Glickman, thank you for coming in. It's good to see you.
My pleasure. Good to see you.
Do you know what the Ford, what is it again?
Ford Fairlane. Excellent car.
Really?
Pretty big car. Mid-60s, early 70s.
And it was built like a tank, wasn't it? It was really heavy metal. And
Well, all those old cars. I mean, full metal jacket, the LTDs of the 70s. They were tanks.
Right. They were big. Fairlane was before the 70s. That was a used car.
One of my oldest memories, my grandfather worked at Caterpillar for 40 years. In his deal, he treated himself, it was every year or every other year, in the 70s, he bought a Cadillac. And he'd trade it in and get a newer model. What was that with the Cadillacs in the 70s?
You know, they were great cars. They were a big status symbol. Cadillac is still a status symbol. But, you know, getting a new car every year and being able to buy the Cadillac, you moved up from Chevy, you moved up from Buick.
It was a big deal.
You were the Cadillac guy. It said a lot to your neighbors. It said a lot, I made it. It tells people I made it, really.
The 1973 Fleetwood.
Oh, that was, you had to have a captain's license for
the,
that.
The 76 Dan DeVille, they had a tan one, I remember that. What was the one where you could play tennis on the hood? The,
Eldorado.
Eldorado. Yes. Yeah. The Eldorado, they had the biggest hood ever.
You can come see them at the Monday Night Car Shows, no problem.
Tell everybody about this. How did you get into it, first of all?
So, how do I get into it? I'm a car guy from when I was a kid. I really love cars. Actually, my brother's an engineer at Ford for many years, has over 70 patents. So he's...
You're kidding.
Yeah, he's... got
so you've been a car family.
Been a car family, which is really funny. My father was a rabbi, which has nothing to do with cars. But he always appreciated, you know, the workmanship and taking care of things you own and how valuable it is, and transportation was important. He always took very good care of it and showed the value. So I always had an appreciation of value, and I always liked to tinker. So, you know, it was great for me. I took shop. I thought that was a cool thing to know how to do. At least you have a knowledge of it so you could know how to do it. Maybe it's not going to be your profession.
Sure.
You have a working knowledge. I thought that was important.
One of my earliest ages, I want to say 7th or 8th grade, my father taught us all how to change the oil in a car.
You know, I went to high school in Louisville, Kentucky, and when you had driver's ed, everybody, girls, boys, they had to go out in the parking lot, find the teacher's car, take out the spare, change the tire, check the oil, and he taught us how to buy insurance. Otherwise, you shouldn't own a car. You know, in those days, there were no cell phones. He always used to say, you know, someday, a girl's going to stop on the side of the road, someone's going to help himself.
Oh, I'm getting pictures of cars via text message right now, the Grand Prix.
Yeah, Grand Prix is a Pontiac.
1969.
Yeah, that was a very cool car, actually. 67 was the only year it had a convertible, but it was always the classiest of the Pontiacs, I thought, a sporty Pontiac.
We had a 1976 Pontiac Le Mans.
So Le Mans is a great car.
The floorboards rusted out in 76.
76 wasn't the same as a 67. I mean,
about the floorboards. Why did they rust out?
Because they were made of less expensive metal. You know, it wasn't like in the 60s. In the late 70s, early 80s, just American cars weren't being built to last is the same way. And it was kind of a dark year between, you know, heavy metal and muscle and technology that really came in at the late 80s.
What was your favorite car growing up? What'd you fall in love
with? That's so funny. I was just saying this. When I was 10, I saw a Ford Shelby, like a fastback, like with the scoops on the side.
Yeah.
And I saw it and I thought it was like Back to the Future. I thought this was like a rocket ship. I never saw a car. I drove my dad drove a station wagon. We didn't have, you know, a fastback Mustang. And I just thought this model was crazy cool and I liked it. But, as far as Monday Night Car Shows go, you know, I'm a kitchen designer. I have Dream Kitchens in Highland Park, plug, plug.
So, really? You do Dream Kitchens?
That's what I do. So, and what, I have a hobby of cars. I have an old car, but I have another hobby. I like to play guitar. And my level playing is you'd need to own the place to get that chance. So I bought a pizza shop so I could play guitar on Saturday night.
Really?
Yeah, the way Rodney Dangerfield had to tie a stake around his neck to get a dog to play with him.
Yes.
I had to tie a 50 around my neck to get decent guitar guys to play with me.
So you have a, you make, you do kitchens.
Right.
Dream kitchens, and you have a pizza joint?
Well, not anymore, because on Monday nights, I told my friends I can't go to car shows anymore. If you show up on Monday night, that's our slow night, I'll give you a free piece of pizza to show up with an old car so I could see old cars again. You know, I was kind of like, you know, by myself.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, five of them came, and then 15. And then 30, and then 60, and then 100. And when it got to 100, the guy who owned the mall said, you know what, I think I've had enough.
Really?
You should go. So I did.
Wow.
But I said, if this many people can get together, and I'd been reading articles in Popular Mechanics, Jay Leno has a foundation for teaching kids how to restore cars. He's a big car guy.
This is my favorite part of what you do.
Yeah. So I said, look, if we're going to get this many people together, we should do something to help kids. You know, even before the politics talked about it, I always felt what makes America great is when people use their hands. And we spend so much time talking to kids about being a doctor and a lawyer and, you know, a programmer.
Right.
We don't talk enough about, hey, what about plumbers, electricians, car mechanics?
Sure.
People that need to do something.
Yeah.
And we don't build as much. You know, there's a lot of economic reasons. I'm not a politician. Why we don't build as much as we do in this country. But that is the key to making us great again. So, you know, I don't know what the method is to get back to that, but
your
grassroots idea,
car shows, right, is a nonprofit.
Right.
Explain
to people. We're a 501c3. We raise money to give scholarships to auto shop students so they can go on to engineering or mechanical school and stay in the industry. Now, in the industry means you could take your shop knowledge and your degree in college and be in marketing in an auto related. You can do parts. You can do service. You can own your own shop. There's lots of things you can do within the auto industry. It's so big. I mean, our whole, highway system and truck stops and all these things were developed because of the car.
Right.
And I wanted to get back to that. So there are a few schools left that have shop in the North Shore, where mm-hmm. I'm mostly based. I have 7 schools I visit. I talk to the students. I try to encourage them. And then we raise money to give them scholarships. We just gave one 2 weeks ago. We're giving one tomorrow, $1,000 to a child to
That's use. A lot of money.
It's a lot of money to buy tools or to buy books or to stay in school. And we had one winner that our first winner was a young lady who was brilliant at building transmissions. She was great at it. She went to school for engineering. She used our money to go to school in the summer to get ahead of herself
and
put it on her resume when she got her job at Tesla.
She's working for Tesla
now, as an
engineer.
It makes me so happy. And a couple of the kids have given the money back and said, give it to the next kid.
Yep.
I've made it. So they really understand that circle of giving back. And we have another presentation tomorrow happening to a kid who's started his own business, and he's so entrepreneurial and knowledgeable, and he's going to use that in the automotive business. And that's exactly the innovation that we need.
You know, it's interesting, when I put together this show, I didn't realize that it would be all about giving back, but it's all coming together. We talked about Special Olympics with Tim Shriver at the start of the show,
right,
about giving back to inclusion, including everyone. And then Amy Terakoch came in here. She just wrote an article in the New York Times about teaching your kids empathy and giving back to the community. And here you are. You have a classic car show. If you love cars, come out and see the cars, but you're giving money back to put these kids through school or help them through school.
Right. So a lot of car shows are about, you know, getting a trophy for your car or showing a certain age of car. Like a lot of car shows that you're limited on, you can only be 25 years or older. There's all sorts of motivations to do a car show. I own a restaurant, or I'm a park district.
Sure.
Those are great motivations. Those are great car shows. Our car show is so the cars will show up and families will show up and a young kid will go, you know, I bet I could do that better. Or I'd like to know how to do that.
Yep.
Or I had no idea they did that then.
Yep.
I had no idea you could do that to that. So I like new cars to come in. Let the tuner come in, or let, you know, the young guy come in and say, they had that in 55? Really? They had gullwing doors? So, like, they see things that make them think and make them get excited so
right.
they'll be part of it. And, you know, autonomous cars are on their way. And there'll be a time in the not-so-distant future you're going to need a license to drive a car, because autonomous cars are going to be it. But they're all going to break. They're all going
to
be
somebody needs to fix
somebody
those.
Needs to fix them.
Exactly.
And that's what we're missing. You know, everyone wants to go to the program of, you know, designing the computer program, but we still live in a physical world, and it has to be taken care of.
My neighbor Joe, he is an iron worker in Local 1, and he comes home from work, and he works on his 1991 Camaro. And our garages faced each other, and so we see each other almost every single day. And I asked him last week, I go, Joe, is it the journey of fixing up the car and then selling the car, or is it fixing up the car so you can drive around the car? And he said, it's the journey because it gives him joy to fix a car and rebuild a car, restore it.
I empathize with that.
Yeah.
I've had my old car, the particular one I drive now, for over 20 years. It's got 229,000 miles, and it took a blue ribbon at the Muscle Car Nationals at this past year.
Nice.
But it took 20 years to get to that point. And every year you do another project, you do a little bit more, and you learn to do some of it yourself, and you see what your limits are and what you need to get help on. It is 100% the journey, hunting down that part that you need,
right,
that isn't remade anymore, so you got to find it. And it's just, and also making the kids in the neighborhood, come here, let me show you how to change an alternator. My alternator broke. I need you to hold this. I need you to hold that. Even my granddaughter's got her hand in there because I said, your hand's smaller. You can reach. Would you reach down and, and it gets them, wow, I did that. It's working now because I worked on it. It's a big satisfaction.
When I was in high school, I think it was junior year, my father taught me, my brother had a Cougar, a Mercury Cougar. We used to call it the John Cougar. It was green. And a long hood, the big hood that you could play
short
tennis
deck,
on.
Long hood, that was a big recipe.
Small trunk.
Right.
And the old Monte Carlos were like that, too.
How old was that car? What year was it?
I want to say it was 78.
Okay, so
that right?
78's already pretty big car. It was long hood, but it was huge, but in 69, that was the, when you talk about having a Cougar, for example, I know that there's other years that are very desirable, but that was when it was really like the pony car of, a Mercury. That was their
really,
really good car. Later, the cars got a little bit bloated, I would say, even though they're nice. And my dad had a Thunderbird. It was big, but they weren't the same cars that they were in the 60s. There was something, different. It was supposed to be the executive's luxury sporty car.
Yep.
Which is what a Cutlass is. I have a Cutlass. And
do you really?
I have
Cutlass Supreme.
That's my car. It's Cutlass Supreme.
It was a Supreme.
Right. It was a Supreme, and you had the Supreme, and that was the cool thing. But it still could have a big engine, and it could still go fast. But you had the air conditioning and tilt wheel and all the other fun things that made it a comfortable car. So that's why I like Oldsmobile.
It's interesting. My father was a engineer at CAT for 35 years, did everything himself. And my point was, he showed me how to change the radiator, go to the junkyard, get a used radiator, and put it in the car. And I was so proud of myself. But we did everything ourselves. Your father was a rabbi. How did you
get into that? He didn't do that. I had other friends and other people that taught me.
Okay.
And, I always liked to build stuff. I mean, I made models, and I built, when circuits came out, I remember my first transistor radio. I'm older than you.
Yeah.
And when circuits came out, I went to Heathkit. And I bought a clock radio that had a circuit board and a little eye in it that would make the letters darker when it got, light out or whatever. So, or brighter. So I learned to solder a board. I would never do that for a living, but I know what it's like.
Sure.
I'm not good at it, but I know what it's like. And that's the kind of thing on the Ford Fairlane.
Yeah.
You can fix just about anything. It's Lego. I mean, I don't do things you could die from. That's like my motto.
Okay.
I don't do gas lines. I don't do brake lines, but most of the other stuff in the car, it bolts on and it bolts off. And, even the new cars, they have all the covers on it. There's three things marked in yellow. They don't want you to touch anything else. And there's 10, 15 computers in the car. You could really mess it up.
Sure.
You could tune it with a computer. That's crazy. You could tune it with a computer. What about a screwdriver?
Right.
So it's a whole different world now. But the older cars, they're much easier to actually do stuff on. And you can get a lot for a lot of cars. And
we had a late 70s LTD, an LTD station wagon. And we'd have to put a screwdriver in the carburetor to start it up.
Yeah, to open the choke.
Yeah,
because the choke would know.
Right, of course.
Well,
it would get stuck.
Right. God forbid you should, have the carburetor take it off and go have it serviced and put it back on.
No, you don't do it that way.
No,
just
because
get a screwdriver,
you have a screwdriver to change the station on the TV also. So, why not?
Monday Night Car Shows, they can find it on Facebook, right?
Right. So we have Monday Night Car Shows on Facebook with an album of most of the shows, which is kind of fun, and some videos of us giving out the awards. And when I go to other shows and represent Monday Night Car Shows around the country or locally, I always, take pictures of that and try to include that also. And we also have a newsletter if you sign up for it. Our website is MondayNightCarShows.com.
Which is a great website.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Have videos on there, too.
I'm
losing my voice. I don't know what happened.
Actually, WGN did a story not too long ago. Aaron Ivory
I saw that. That's the one I watched on there,
right,
which I loved.
She did great, and it was very nice of her to do that and to tell people about what we're doing. And she talked to the teachers, and we went to a school, and she saw what we're doing. And we also have a video there of some selfies of some of the kids who said thank you from school. And here I am at school, and it's working, and thank you very much.
I love that you're giving back. I'm going to keep you for one more segment because I want to talk muscle cars and some more old cars. Rick Glickman in studio with us, MondayNightCarShows.com, or you can just search for it on Facebook. It happens tomorrow night at Old Orchard
Convertible Night.
Yeah. Oh, Convertible Night.
Every week is themed.
Oh, I like that. What was last week? What did I miss?
Last week was Red, White, and Blue.
Okay.
And there's a picture album with Red, White, Blue Car, Red, White, Blue Car. It's like 10 rows of Red, White, Blue.
Nice.
Very good. We'll talk more.
It's 720 WGN. GM. We're talking cars. Rick Glickman in studio. He has the Monday Night Car Shows at Old Orchard. Go to MondayNightCarShows.com or just search Monday Night Car Shows on Facebook. I wanted to talk about muscle cars. What constitutes a muscle car? I know it's the old Mustangs, the Chevelle, I remember. Does it have to be a hardtop or can it be a convertible?
So muscle car means putting a big engine, a midsize engine, in a smaller car.
That's it.
You know, the big cars got the big engines and the smaller cars got the small engines until Oldsmobile decided to put in, you know, even in the 50s, put in a big V8 in a medium-sized car. And that kind of started the revolution. Pontiac followed suit and Chevy and, you know, it was born. There were others also. But a muscle car means big engine, smaller body, either mid-size or small-size car. Now, the small size, you mentioned Mustang and Camaro, those are called pony cars. They were even smaller with a big engine in it.
Right.
So that was also a revolution. I think the Mustang really was the first, and really it came out, and then Chevy jumped to make the Camaro, and then the Firebird.
The Firebird.
Right.
Forgot
that
about
was
that.
The Pontiac version. So, and then, of course, you know, all the other brands came out with their, you know, version of that type of a car. But, you know, in those days, you know, you would race a car, a stock car, on Saturday, and then you'd sell cars on Sunday. And so when they could make a car in the stock car races win, well, that dealership was busy that week. And so they have to make a certain number of those cars available to make it a stock car.
Okay.
But then they would start sneaking in, you know, where the dealerships would start swapping out engines and making them better. And then all of a sudden, you'd have people like Shelby or Mr. Norm for, Mopar, and they would muscle up a smaller car by putting the big engine in.
Gotcha.
They'd race it, and then their sales would improve. And that's how that started, as far as, you know, at least in the 60s, that's how it was, and then 70s. But it really, that's how muscle cars started. It could be a convertible.
Right.
It could be a hardtop. You know, there are some, you know, there's a variation. There's four-door post, four-door hardtop, two-door post, two-door hardtop, convertible. Those are most of the body styles. There's probably a few others.
Right.
Sports car is a two-seater. So Corvette and the early T-Birds, they're considered a Ferrari. They're considered sports cars because they have two seats, whether their top goes down or not.
Really?
And that's kind of how that works.
My buddy has a 1966 bright red Mustang convertible. Okay. I absolutely love it.
That was it came out 64 and a half, 65, 66 was already pretty established. It was a hugely popular car. Camaro was just coming out to try to beat them and get back in the race, so to speak. But that Mustang was a gorgeous car and popular to everyone. Women liked them, men liked them. You could make it, you know, the pony interior, you can make a regular interior. So they had lots of options to make it a really cool car. But it was always a two-door. They didn't have a four-door Mustang. It was too small.
Do you remember Beretta's car, the Impala?
Yes.
1966?
Yeah. And, you know, some of those guys like Mannix, you know, where they had the phone in the car. And they were the
streets
first
of San
guys.
San Francisco
with,
had a brown LTD.
Right. And, you know, even Hawaii Five-0, we had a phone in the car.
Yes,
that was, I mean, you know, okay, Get Smart had a shoe, but everyone else, you know, had a phone. It was like a cool thing. So there was like all sorts of things that we were going to have in the future that was happening with those cars. And, you know, people identify with a brand. They grew up with a brand. My dad had it. I had good experience. Very brand loyal. I don't know if that brand loyalty is as strong as it used to be. It used to be like a family thing.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
Sure.
Like, I bought an Oldsmobile.
Right.
We're a Ford family.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big deal in our family. You know, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, I like it. You know, it's like, but it fell in my lap.
What was it with the Chevy Novas? Because everybody had a guy in their neighborhood that would restore a Chevy Nova. What was with the Chevy Nova?
They weren't expensive. That's pretty much what it was.
That's why a 20-year-old guy would fix up the Nova.
Right, because you could buy a Nova for a few hundred bucks back in the day.
Right.
And then you could put any engine you want. It's a big engine bay. It's open. You can really put something big in it. You could do a lot of things, but they had sporty models. But Nova was a great car because it was very inexpensive.
Okay.
And very easy to fix.
That's why every neighborhood had a guy fixing up a Nova.
But if you look around, there's every guy. Somebody had a Camaro. Somebody had a lot
yes,
of things. You just noticed the Novas, maybe.
So Monday Night Car Shows. Tomorrow night is convertible night.
Right. Next
so what are we going to see?
So
we're going to see Mustangs. Or we're going to
see pretty much
everything.
A huge variety. And we, you know, we'll have a 1915 car sitting next to a brand new Ferrari or Lamborghini. And then there'll be military vehicles. There'll be muscle cars, antiques, rat rods. You have motorcycles.
Okay.
We really have the variety. And that's what makes the show so interesting, because I'm not saying if it's newer than 93, you can't come. And I'm not saying, you know, if you've done something cool to it. I mean, if it isn't just a sedan that your dad driving, you decided to wash it. But if you've done something cool.
I got a Country Squire LTD from 1978.
I learned to drive in a Country Squire.
Yes, we all did. I did too. Yes, definitely.
But, you know, you're going to see a big variety. And we have live music. And tomorrow night we're going to have a presentation. Harley Davidson's there with the Dynamo, so you can ride one of their bikes. Another radio station's going to be there. We have food. We have, you know, food outside, but you can also go in the mall.
So it's one big party.
It's a big party. And that's what I want.
And you're raising money to give scholarships back to these kids.
The cars who come in are paying $5 to come in. The people walking in are, sometimes they're donating, sometimes they're not. But the show is for them to be fascinated. That's the point. And it's really kind of cool. Now, next week is a favorite. Every week is a different theme. Next week is Ladies' Night. And that's kind of cool, because instead of just giving out car wax and, you know, shop towels and baseball caps, I've got Mary Chicosi and you know, Vera Bradley, and I've got other people in the mall. Westfield has a really nice selection of stores
sure.
and restaurants. And they donate things to me. And then I give them out at the show and get the better half who allows us to do all this, get them excited about the show also and make them happy.
I love it. You're doing good work, and I love talking old cars and seeing old cars. MondayNightCarShows.com, or you can just search for them on Facebook. Rick, thanks for coming in. It's good
Thank
to see you, man, and we'll talk again soon.
Come back. Very good.
All right.
Appreciate it very much.